Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Be fruitful and multiply. It's one of God's commands and one of the topics during this edition of Spotlight. Here's David Smith, the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action, along with Larry Jacobs. Mr. Jacobs is the managing director of the World Congress of Families and the International Organization for the Family. Their conversation was recorded at the recent IOF Pro-Life Breakfast in Rockford.
Larry, you work with the Howard Center for Families, and you also work for the World Congress of Families, and now you've got a new name. Tell us a little bit about that and the new focus and direction. And it's not so new, actually. You got the same mission, but it's on a different, bigger scale. Tell us about that.
Super. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, you know, to quickly explain it, you know, we've been operating as the Howard Center for Family, Religion, Society with, you know, a similar, in some ways, similar goal to the Illinois Family Institute, looking at how can we help families nationally and internationally. And our World Congress of Families project that you're quite familiar with, and I love what you do in the state, because we're able to take that nationally and internationally to share with other groups around the world. We continue doing our World Congress of Families big events, gathering pro-family leaders from all over the world. And then we've added, in becoming the International Organization for Family and having Brian Brown come on board with Alan Carlson and our other.
And Alan Brown headed up the National Organization for Marriage for years.
That's correct. Brian Brown was president of, and still is actually, National Organization for Marriage.
Sure.
And as he got involved in marriage referendums around the world, Brian saw the need for this international aspect. And I was already inviting him to World Congress of Families events, so it made perfect sense. Why don't we join forces and and rename the Howard Center the International Organization for the Family? And that doesn't mean we still have a Rockford, you know, we call it the Howard Center. And obviously, John Howard will forever be in our hearts and
That's right.
Part of the organization's foundation. But so we're excited about this new chapter. Yeah, it's exciting.
So, big question. Mm-hmm. Why?
Why? Well, as you know, not only here in Illinois, but around the world, the family is just facing attack. There is no, as our work at the United Nations, there's no greater force for social good. As the Universal Declaration of Human Rights says, the family is the natural and fundamental group unit of society and is entitled to protection by society and the state. Well,
The UN said that.
The UN said that, believe it or not. In 1948, this is the foundation of international human rights. The UN doesn't enforce it, but imagine, you know, if that, just that one Article 16, which we actually have named one of our projects, Article 16, if that one provision that the family is the natural and fundamental group unit of society, it is entitled to protection by society and the state, we would have problems economically, socially, you know, everything from crime to poverty is tied to the family. And so in our particular role, we're educating, uniting, equipping leaders, pro-family groups, people that are doing great things like yourself, and bringing them together around the world.
I think your material is phenomenal, by the way, and it's very educational and equips us, and it's so needed. Your work is so needed. The Article 16 situation needs to be read by every single policymaker across the country. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Because, you know, even our courts now, they bring in international human rights and their decisions. Local leaders like to say, oh, it's consistent with international human rights. Well, if you're going to be consistent with international human rights, and even consistent with what the United Nations founding document signed by every country in the world says, then you need to protect the family. And it's the natural and fundamental group unit of society.
Of course, then the battle comes to the definition of what is marriage and what is family. Correct?
Even in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it's very clear. It says that every man and woman has a right to marriage. It says that parents have the rights to educate their children and to worship and to pass those values on to their kids. You know, unless you want to just discount all of this historical and really foundational documents of international human rights, legally you can't get around the fact that marriage between man and woman and the natural family is that fundamental basis to human rights. You know, that's our position. You're doing great human rights stuff, but the world is so messed up, they're saying that, you know, you're violating people's rights. No,
that's
I mean,
right.
They've created new rights, when the right to family and life And, you know, all that is good.
Yes.
Yeah, and to religion and to worship God, all of that are the fundamental rights. It's these other groups that won't protect the fundamental rights that are creating new rights.
Larry, why should our readers and subscribers and listeners be aware of what you guys are doing, and how can they get on your mailing list and become more involved with the work that you guys are doing at IOF, right?
IOF. Organization for the Family. Well, the easiest way is that we've kept the same original website we have at the Howard Center, profam.org. So like
profamily.org?
Well, not the IOY, just profam. You know, we got to be hashtag profam, profam.org. And that will take you to our website. And from there, you can go to World Congress of Families information. You can go to read our journal, subscribe to the journal. Find out more about what the UN, what are these founding documents of the UN that actually support family that no one talks about? What is the language of the natural family? And you and I have had some great opportunities to educate and share with people how to use, you know, that terminology to whoever defines the terms wins the debate.
That's
so
right.
We need to be positive in defining the terms according to our goals. So
the family is certainly under attack. I like to to look at it as, you know, Satan sees all these God images, human beings, and he wants to wipe them out. And so he's attacking. And of course, abortion is a key place to do that. However, so is the LGBTQ agenda, because involvement in those lifestyles, you don't procreate, right? And then, of course, now on the horizon in Illinois, we see doctor-assisted suicide, or death with dignity, as they would say.
Yeah.
And this is a growing movement to snuff out life. Do you guys address all these issues, don't you? And the demographic issue overall, which is, you know, the world's population is still growing, but it's going to reach a peak, and it's going to plummet, isn't it?
Yes, and all of these are tied together. That's why you're doing such a great job here in Illinois, because you understand the foundational aspect of all these problems. They're all tied together. When our concept of sexuality and what a human being is and God's truth, biblical truth, beauty, truth, and goodness, they you know, even in the Greek philosophy, these things, virtues, are about what it means to be human.
Yeah.
And family and life and protecting unborn life and sexuality rightly understood as part of the family, all those things are intimately tied together. I like to say what you and I are dealing with are victims of the sexual revolution, and that can be either the LGBT movement, where so many people have been hurt or victimized. Sometimes they don't even realize it.
That's right.
They're not even aware of it. And then we have those in you know, a lot of women who felt like they had no choice, and they've chosen to have an abortion.
Right.
We know about the post-abortion syndrome. These are all victims of the sexual revolution.
Absolutely.
Those of divorce.
Victims of Satan's lies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we're trying to clean up the pieces, but we need to be prevented. We need to prevent this future victims. And that's, you know, people don't realize it's not about it's not about opposing individuals, it's opposing this radical sexual movement. We call them sexual radicals, whether it's the LGBT movement, whether it's those, you know, promoting choice, abortion. It's all connected.
Absolutely. You know, Scripture tells us, God says, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. And as you're pointing out, so many people are unaware of the choices they have before them, and they feel pressured into making these bad, horrific choices that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. That's why I am such a big, in Illinois Family Institute, and I'm so you guys too, are such great proponents of abstinence training in our public government schools. Truth isn't getting out there. The options aren't being, you know, life versus death. Here's your choices. And so that's why it's so important that what you guys are doing and making this work available. And so I would encourage our listeners, our readers, our watchers to give you a look and subscribe to your work. So tell us what you're working on right now at IOF.
We actually are working on the next World Congress of Families.
And where's that going to be held?
Well, it hasn't been officially announced, but I'll give your viewers, listeners, a
sneak peek.
Anyway, it's in a small Eastern European country.
No kidding.
Yeah, and actually, the president of that country has actually, our last Congress was in Hungary, where Viktor Orban invited us to come. So it's in that part of the world we've been invited to come back, and it'll be officially.
Were they hungry for you guys?
Oh.
I had to do that. I'm sorry.
Well, they were hungry for the truth.
That's
we know
right.
that.
They
were
right.
hungry for the truth. truth. And that's what our church.
You know, there's a group of Romanian Christians I work with here in the north side of Chicago, and they are very pro-family. In fact, we went to a evening service, a Sunday evening service, to give a legislative update. And I was struck by how many young people were in the congregation at the service that night. And so I think that many of these countries who have been under the thumb of oppression, you know, communism, are hungry, no pun intended, for this message.
Absolutely. And, you know, everyone here can keep a secret, right? It's Moldova.
Okay.
You heard it first, right? You guys got exclusives now on the podcast. No, it is in Moldova in September. September 11th through the 15th, around that time frame, we'll come out with some specifics. You're right. The communism destroyed the economy, destroyed the government, all the social institutions in these countries. And so coming out of communism, the only thing they have is their faith and their family. That's the only thing. And so when they try to join Western Europe and be part of the EU or these other, they're saying, no, you need to introduce all of these things that we already experienced in the sexual revolution. You need to legalize same-sex marriage, legalize abortion.
Yeah.
Well, no, we just want to trade economically with you. We don't want to adopt your values in our country, but they're forced to do that.
It's sad to see the European Union, the United Nations, the World Health Organization pushing this very anti-life, anti-family agenda. And your message is absolutely critical to get out there to counter the lies that they're promoting.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. It's really, I'm just blessed to work with leaders like yourself. And even in these small countries, you'd be surprised about, you know, in Romania where they're working on a marriage referendum, the Romanian Family Institute and the other groups that are involved. And, you know, in Moldova, that is a real interesting story because the current president was not present when he spoke 2 years ago at our World Congress of Families event in Tbilisi. So now we have someone who actually appeared at the Congress, spoke, and has now been elected to a president on these positions, on these this idea that family and life and...
So this message is resonating with people. You were in Moscow a couple years ago, right? And is it fair to say that Putin recognizes some of the validity of the arguments you're making?
It was a little longer. It was 4 or 5 years ago. But unfortunately, political events have... But I'd say the Russian Orthodox Church, which often gets sometimes corrupted or put in together with the government. But the Russian Orthodox Church has stayed strong on these issues. As a matter of fact, another first announcement, the Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill, who's the largest, he oversees the largest Orthodox group of churches in the world, will be speaking at that event because that's how the Orthodox Church sees, you know, he's coming to Moldova because he sees the importance of family and life.
Well, that's phenomenal. I know that for the bishop, it's probably because of his faith in Christ, and he sees the commandments repeatedly, be fruitful and multiply. For Putin, maybe it's a little bit more cultural that the Russian culture is dying with the Russian people. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, there's a demographic issue that affects every politician in Europe. Sometimes some of them choose to ignore it. Others, like Viktor Orban and Putin, have acknowledged that, you know, there's not enough babies. There's not enough workers. The continent is dying. And even the UN has acknowledged unbelievably that it's not overpopulation that we're facing. By 2050, the world's population will peak and go down significantly. China will become the oldest country in the world, not just the country with the most number of people. And unless we're going to go into a brave new world where we create clones and and create, you know, techno robo babies out of from the laboratory, there's no way to recover from that.
No, in fact, no economy prospers, right? No national with a declining population.
Yes. And you know, you can think about it when just from simple things like, you know, investing in the stock market, investing in the bank, if your population is not growing, how are you going to sell more goods? I mean, you usually invest in a company or put your money in the bank with the idea that the money's going to grow. Well, the interesting thing is that two-thirds of growth is due to population growth. Only a third or less is due to innovation, we can't replace it. And there's no way to sustain your economy. Look at Japan. Essentially, at the time that the
highly educated, motivated, huge ethical work face.
Success story of the 80s when I was, growing up, we were doing Japanese exercises to figure out how their workers got to be so proficient. We're bringing all these Japanese cars.
Right.
Yeah, and then 20 years later, their whole economy it has been basically declining for the last 20 years.
And that's because?
Population. No babies. No families to buy stuff, no workers to produce stuff. And essentially, if you look at the stock market when it peaked, the Nikkei index or any of the Japanese stock market, it peaked at the very time where population growth rate reached its top and started going down. And so the markets have followed the population in the country.
Isn't that sad? Now, they're neighbors to the north, China, has just loosened up its one-child policy and is now a two-child policy. But why is that, Larry?
Well, again, as we just discussed, they're behind in the sense that their markets are just in the stage that Japan was, 40 years ago. So, but what they've discovered very quickly in their forced abortion and their forced one-child policy, where they would even we're talking infanticide, even killing young children or taking them from their parents and punishing those that had extra children. And this is still going on, by the way, even with the two-child policy. So while it sounds better, it's still the same. They're still jailing people. They're still forcing abortion. The point that we're making is that they had to do two because they didn't have enough workers in the country. They used to bring all the farm workers and they were teaching them skills. They've run out of young workers. More people are getting older, retiring. They can't. There's not enough money in the system to pay for their Social Security, their retirement, their health care. So they've got to have more babies. And, it's interesting how God's truth in the Bible plays itself out in the real world. You don't have to be an economist. You don't have to be an expert in political science. You don't have to be an expert. God's truth is truth with a capital T. And so the design for the family, the design for marriage between man and woman, that is the foundational unit of the nation, of the economic prosperity.
Dave and Larry Jacobs will continue their conversation after this. This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update. Illinois is among 9 states that prohibit mental health professionals from engaging in counseling that could help children with their unwanted same-sex attraction.
It is akin to child abuse when you can't offer counseling to a teenager who's been confused.
Stephen Black leads First Stone Ministries, which provides Christ-centered counseling to people experiencing sexual brokenness. He's one of the many opponents of the Youth Mental Health Protection Act.
Rise up and say, this is an unjust law.
And while the law does not apply to religious pastoral counseling, Mr. Black warns the threat is there.
We're going to need some courageous people to see that this really is about squelching our freedom of speech and religious liberties.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update.
Have you ever noticed how many churches sit empty throughout the week? Well, Freedom Project Academy wants to change that, and it's a simple concept. Partner with churches across the country to provide fully accredited, biblically based online classes that allow every church that sits empty Monday through Friday to start their own school. Let's fill up our churches all week long. Visit Freedom Project Academy because together we can faithfully educate America.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. Day Smith recently interviewed Larry Jacobs with the International Organization for the Family, a ministry dedicated to uniting and equipping leaders worldwide to promote the natural family.
Speaking of demographics and population, while the Christian world is having a problem with fertility and birth rate, the Muslims are not having this problem, are they? They're averaging at least 7 kids per family. What are the consequences?
There's a great book that came out maybe 3-4 years ago on this. It was called Shall the Religious Inherit the Earth? It highlighted the different birth rates in various populations, Muslim, Christians, Orthodox Jews in Israel, for instance, like third order Amish groups and whatever. And the conclusion, as you mentioned, is that the future of society is in the birth rate. And for instance, if you look at Muslim countries, even though their birth rate is also declining because of their influence by the culture, their birth rates are
so the culture is even affecting religious Muslims.
Yeah, if you can believe, I didn't believe these numbers, but if you look at a country where there's a lot of young people, university educated, like Iran, for instance.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
It's a below replacement birth rate in Iran. Now, and other, like Saudi Arabia and some other countries, you know, be 5, 6, 7 children, sub-Saharan Africa and places like that, it's still very high. But no, it is very true. Genesis commandment, be fruitful and multiply. Absolutely.
And that was repeated with Noah when he got off the ark. When Jacob was being renamed Israel, yeah. God said, be fruitful and multiply. And we're not obeying, are we?
No. And you know, and we can be alarmist. In Israel, for instance, 80% of the children are age 5 are from, not Muslim, you're going to be surprised. They're of the Hasidic Jew, very, very ultra-Orthodox. Don't even serve in the military, some of them, whatever.
Oh, wow.
So imagine, which Israel has a lot of secular Jews that don't even practice, you know, their faith. Imagine, you know, 50 years from now, when 85% of the country is ultra-Orthodox, and there's even issues about, well, if they're not allowed to serve in the military, 85% of men and, you know, in Israel wouldn't be allowed to be permitted to serve in the military. So there's all kinds of things. But yeah, it is true. If you just look at the numbers, now that's where evangelization, sharing the good news, the Bible, sure, other things can overcome this, but it's a
but we're seeing real world consequences in Germany and England and all these other places. Brussels, they've had to let immigration from Islamic countries in for the workforce, and as a result their demographics are changing rapidly.
Yeah, and that's the fundamental problem that Europe has. Europe didn't recognize its Christian roots and its Christian values. So this is why, you know, we were a country like Hungary last year. They go, we just want to defend Christianity. Yeah, we wanted the family and faith and life, but we're just defending Christianity at this point because it was our foundation, it was our culture, it was our values. And so, you know, when immigrants don't come in and assimilate, it creates huge problems.
Yeah. It's almost as though God is saying, serve me or you'll serve them. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, Larry, before we wrap up, yeah, is there anything that you want to bring to the listeners' attention that is on your heart or on the agenda of IOF?
I think in different years, I've just kind of felt God's prompting. One of the things that I've had a heart for recently is a mother and father in every home. Because, again, whether we're talking about, you know, abortion or demography or the LGBT movement or same-sex marriage, the reality is what we're forgetting is the foundation of all this is a mother and father in every home. That used to be, it was throughout the history of the United States until about 15 years ago, the majority households in the U.S. were married, man and wife with children. When the households disappear that have moms and dads, the society will disappear.
And this is brutally unfair to the kids that are being brought up. And it's not because fathers are going off to war or out of town to work. This is all by choice, isn't it? Much of it is by choice, I should say.
Yeah, it's by choice or by design from those that are just wanting to see that destruction. So this is a key issue for me. It's one that I know that we need to see more moms and dads at home. 70% of Rockford doesn't have that.
70%. Well, I know that in the African-American community, it's 72% of black babies born to a single mother. I think it's 43% in the Hispanic, and it's in the 20s now for white families. And we need to all work together to see those numbers come down. Children deserve, like you said, a mother and father. Larry, how do people get in touch with you guys?
Well, as I mentioned, you can go to our website at profam.org. That's like pro-family without the I-L-Y, so profam.org.
Are you on Twitter?
We are. It's at, and we actually have an IOF Twitter feed too. So
okay.
It's I believe it at IOF, and then we have one at WCF Families, our Twitter feed for World Congress.
On Facebook?
Yes, on Facebook as well, at WCF Families, and always feel free to email me at larry@worldcongress.org. That works too.
All right, Larry. Thanks for your time, and God bless the work that you're doing. May God prosper you.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.